Need to give a big thank you to Donnie. He said to me this morning, what's the scripture reading for tonight? I said, you know, I briefly thought about that. I'll get that for you this afternoon. Then he comes to me and he asks me before we start, well, what's the scripture reading? Deer in the headlights. I had an idea of what we were going to do, but I found that I had a misreference in my outline, at least that way I can tell y'all tonight. Thank you for being here. I was talking to Beth, and she had mentioned, she says, two of your families are coming together tonight. You have your church family, someone I meet with each week, and then my baseball family, a number of those have come who I meet with multiple times a week during the baseball season, and I appreciate several of those coming tonight. It's a special group of young men and a special group of parents that I'm associated with down at the park, and I'm thankful for their association and the good example that they have provided as they have raised their young men to be good young men. As was mentioned, and I have to figure out what I'm going to do here. We're going to talk about a king in Israel by the name of Josiah and how I got this talk. I had another topic in mind for tonight, and I was going over the lesson with Lillian a couple months ago, and we read about Josiah. And I thought, you know, Josiah is a good lesson to go over. The other lesson would have been here for at least 2 or 3 hours. So be thankful to Lillian that we are studying Josiah tonight. Josiah was an example of seeking after spiritual growth. And just to give you a sense of where Josiah lived, if you're going through the Old Testament, you got creation, that's where the little tree is. You got the flood, the pyramids are there where the Israelites go down into, the children of Israel, go down into Egypt and they come out under Moses. And then you have the time period of the judges and then the kings, Saul, David, Solomon. And then there was a rift in the kingdom. And you had the northern kingdom, the southern kingdom. And the northern kingdom had gone bad after a number of years, seeking after false gods. And God took them away into Assyrian captivity. And for a brief period of time, the southern kingdom continued to exist before they finally went off into Babylonian captivity. Well, just before they went into Babylonian captivity in that exile, that's when Josiah lived. And Josiah was crowned as king when he was 8 years old. Lillian is 9. And can you imagine Lillian being crowned as queen to rule over a nation? There had to be some influences in his life that steered him in the right direction, but we know it did not come from his father. His father only reigned for 2 years. He was exceedingly evil, did evil in the sight of the Lord, and it says, as his father, Manasseh, had done. So that means Josiah's grandfather was evil as well, but there's a story about Manasseh. Manasseh had done some horribly evil things, a lot of bloodshed, such that God took him away into captivity by the Assyrians. It says that they bound him with hooks. This picture has those hooks going through his nose. But while he was in captivity, Manasseh repented. God brought him back to Israel. So there would have been a brief period of time where Manasseh had been repentant, had a repentant heart, and he would have tried to serve God. So maybe Josiah saw some of that in addition to his father who was evil. But now as Josiah gets crowned as king, he has some decisions to make. He has to lean upon some of those influences. And young people, you've got influences on you as you grow. Choose wisely. From a young age, he had influences and he had to choose wisely. There was another young king that we know had some of the priests take care of him and give him positive influences. So I'm not sure what happened after his father died, but it says in the 8th year of his reign, so when he was 16 years old, so 8 years had transpired, Josiah, while he was still young, began to seek the God of his father David. So Josiah made a decision at age 16 that he was going to serve after God. He was going to follow after God. Well, that took a little bit of time for him to learn some things. He had to go through a growth process. But that's applicable to all of us. Each of us, young or old, whenever we come to a knowledge of what we're supposed to do, we are to study and to learn. It says in Hebrews, the 11th chapter, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. So this isn't just, what will I do today? This is a diligent looking to serve after God. We can't halfway do this. Building faith pleases God, and it requires diligence. And y'all, ask you to be patient with me. I got a lot of pieces of paper up here. I got to make sure I don't get confused and start all over again. So we have to diligently seek after Him. And Romans, the 10th chapter, it gives us a little information about how we can build that faith. It says, how then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him on whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. And this is what I want you to focus on here. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If it pleases God for us to build our faith, how are we going to build that faith? We've got to seek after Him, like Josiah did. It said that when he was 16 years old, in the 8th year of his reign, he sought after the Lord, the same Lord that was the God of his father David. And that would have been a great grandfather, but that's how they referenced him. Because David was a marker of excellence, one who is after God's own heart. So now they're saying Josiah is seeking after God in the same way that David sought after God. And this is what we're commanded to do as well in Matthew 6. Seek first the kingdom of God, not second. First, and His righteousness. That means there's an impact there. And these things should be added unto you. In Matthew 7 says, ask, and it will be given. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door shall be opened unto you. So that's the question for us. What are we doing? Are we seeking? Are we knocking? Are we asking? Are we looking? There is benefit. Great benefit, but the benefit is only a benefit if that is what you want. If I don't want to be godly, then I don't understand and appreciate the benefit of being godly. To realize that there's a need for me to change my life, to seek after God, then I can appreciate and understand the benefit that it can have for me. In 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter. 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter. You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There's this knowledge aspect. How many of us ever gained knowledge of anything, whether it's our jobs or whether it's how to play baseball? I know you guys had a great coach that taught y'all so much. I'm glad someone laughed. But you don't grow in anything without studying it and being instructed and putting time into it. None of us do. But here, it's in the Word of God. This knowledge is in the Word of God. So we apply ourselves, we seek it, and that's similar in the same manner by which Josiah did it. Throughout tonight, we're going to have a few slides that kind of take us back and remind us of some things. Josiah was crowned as king at age 8. It takes 8 years and he makes a decision to seek after God. So he learned some things. He had some influences. We have to be aware of the influences that are in our lives. And so then we have a decision to make, especially young people. These are the years where you are being formed, impressionable years. Now, all of us do this. I don't want to take away from those of us who are older that have to make these same types of decisions, but appreciate and grasp on to those good influences. So, after seeking the Lord for 4 years, it says that in the 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem of the high places, the wooden images, the carved images, the molten images. They broke down the altars of the Baals and the wooden images, the carved images and the molten images. He broke into pieces and made dust of them. So after he sought after the Lord for 4 years, he learned that there were some things he needed to do. He's 20 years old now. He's a young man. And he says, I've got to do something. He allows the word that has seeped into his mind, the influences that are positive that have come into his mind, and he is now going to do something with it, and I'm going to purge this land of the idolatry that is against God. So we make some application. How about us? Have we been seeking God, and what actions define us? In Matthew 7, verse 16 through 20, actually verse 17. Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. So how do people know me? Ask the question, how do people know you? Are we a good tree? Then we're going to bear good fruit. Are we a bad tree? Then we're going to bear bad fruit. By their fruit you will know them. By my fruit you will know me. So I have some decisions to make in my life. And I know I reference the young people from time to time, but these decisions that you make at a young age are going to help define who you are as you continue through life. You start making the decisions earlier, it's easier to make them later. Once we've made bad decisions for a while, it becomes more difficult to make good decisions. So Josiah, he, after seeking the Lord, he went out to destroy these idols. He produced good fruit for God. The whole point is to glorify God. It has nothing to do with self-glorification. It's about glorifying God. And it took him 6 years. 2 Chronicles 34, verse 8, it says, in the 18th year of his reign, when he had purged the land and the temple. So it took him 6 years, from age 20 to 26. He was persistent. We have to be persistent. And one thing is to be patient. Patient with ourselves, patient with others, as we see those striving to grow. I'm not going to drop a hammer today and know everything tomorrow that I need to do. There's a story about a preacher. Some of you know him, Paul Sheehan. He was preaching a lesson. I say some of you, very few of you may know him. I'm not sure how many of you do or not. But Paul, it was preaching in a gospel meeting one time, and he made the observation. He said there was this guy who came in with long hair, bell-bottom jeans, real hippie. He comes into a church and he learns the gospel and he obeys the gospel, and he really stands out, he said, this guy. Guy really stood out, but the people thought, we need to work with him about the things he may need to do. So as this guy went along, he learned, man, I kind of look different from everybody else, and so forth and so on. And the short of it is, Paul was the guy. He was the guy. He says, that guy's standing before you today. He realized he became a Christian, but he had some growth to do. He told this story 35 years ago. Patience as we see people grow in the Lord. Patience with ourselves as we grow in the Lord. Not to get dissuaded, discouraged, but recognize that we have a goal to meet. A goal to seek after. Josiah, after he had purged the land of the idolatry, he says, you know, the house of the Lord is in disrepair. Let's think for a moment. His father was evil. He's been going on now for quite a number of years. The temple is in disarray. He says, let's get this place fixed up. Let's honor God. So he accomplished purging the land of the idolatry. And now he says, okay, let's go and glorify God and fix up God's house. In chapter 34, verses 8 through 14. I'm not going to read all of it. He said, he sent Shaphan to repair the house of the Lord his God. They delivered the money that was brought into the house of God, and they gave it to the workmen who worked in the house of the Lord to repair and restore the house. Now Hilkiah, the priest, found the book of the law given by Moses. I guess I take for granted, we have our Bibles. I have mine electronically. Some of you have your hard copy Bibles. We take for granted, how many of those Bibles are in here? And they had lost the book of the law. It was a different time. It was written on animal skins. It was very expensive, difficult to make. They had lost the book of the law. And the thing is they found it in the temple. It must have just been covered up with stuff. As they're looking in order to repair the temple to get the money and so forth, they find the book of the law. That is hard for us to imagine. This man who had been crowned as king at 8, he begins seeking the Lord at 16. He destroys idolatry, beginning that at age 20. At age 26, when he's completed that, he begins to repair the temple. But that wasn't enough for Josiah. He finds the book of the law. And so what does he do? When he finds the book of the law, this man who had been doing all these things in service to God, and it says, then Shaphan, the scribe, told the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest has given me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. And thus it happened, when the king heard the words of the law, that he tore his clothes. And do we understand the meaning of that? The meaning is he was mourning. I'm sorry, I don't think any of us have ever torn our clothes when we got sad. Maybe someone did, but that's not part of our culture. Part of their culture, we hear of the sackcloth and ashes and the tearing of the clothes. It means we have done something that's wrong. I am mourning over this. I am upset. Why? Why is he upset? Has he not been trying to do the things that are right? He's been eradicating, getting rid of idolatry. He's trying to fix up the temple. He's been seeking after God. He's compared to David, and he hears this book and these words, and he tears his clothes. He's mourning for sin. When he hears the words of this book, he says, go inquire for me and for those who are left in Israel and Judah concerning the words of the book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is poured out on us because our fathers have not kept the word of the Lord to do according to all that is written in this book. Now, this is a man who's been trying to do what's right, but he recognizes that they have not been doing all that was written in the book. His humility, I think, speaks volumes. He's humble. He's been trying to do things that are right, but he recognizes that he hasn't been doing all that was written in the book. And he is tearing his clothes. He is mourning, recognizing that there is sin there for he and the nation because they've not been fulfilling all that was written in the book. And he expresses humility and godly sorrow. So Hilkiah went to Huldah. She was a prophetess. And she answered them, thus says the Lord God of Israel, tell the man who sent you to me, thus says the Lord, behold, I will bring calamity on this place and on its inhabitants. See, the people, they had been going off into idolatry. He's having to rid them of this idolatry. Josiah is probably knocking his head up against a brick wall trying to get these people to discontinue their idolatry. It takes them 6 years to eradicate it. And now here's the judgment on the people. On this place and on its inhabitants, all the curses that are written in the book, because they have forsaken me and burned incense to other gods. Therefore, my wrath will be poured out on this place and not be quenched. They had been committing idolatry. They had forsaken God, and God was not happy with the people of Israel. What about Josiah? It says in chapter 34, verses 26, but as for the king of Judah, because your heart was tender and you humbled yourself before God when you heard his words against this place, you tore your clothes and wept. How many times have we wept for our sin? How important is not sinning, that it would affect us, that we would weep. I also have heard you, says the Lord, surely I will gather you to your fathers, and you shall be gathered to your grave in peace, and your eyes shall not see all the calamity which I will bring on this place and its inhabitants. the sorrow of Josiah. Now, this was a king who was trying to do what was right. He had been crowned king at 8. He starts seeking the Lord at age 16. He destroys idols. He does that for 6 years. He starts to repair the temple. He finds the book of the law. He is upset because he realizes we have not been doing what the law has told us to do. We've lost it. It brings up a question that has been asked by preachers in years past. How many times do we pick up our Bible after we leave Sunday? Do we lose it until the next Sunday? There's responsibility for us all. We've got to be ready to change when we learn something that we need to do. That is part of the lesson that we take from this. Got to find my charts. You should never name a chart the same thing twice. I've lost where I've gone. Okay. This is where y'all wish Alan was here, because he's a lot smoother at this than what I am. All right. I'm going to go back, figure out where I've gotten to. See, I'm not following my notes the way I should. Then the king sent and gathered all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem, all the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, great and small. So Josiah learns that he needs to do something, and he goes off and he wants to influence others. So that's another lesson for us. Are we trying to influence others? And he read in their hearing all the words of the book of the covenant which had been found in the house of the Lord, and made a covenant before the Lord to follow the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all of his heart and all his soul, to perform the words of the covenant. So, what's the application for us? He found what he needed to do. He humbled himself before God. And when we look at the New Testament instruction for us in 1 Peter 5, it says to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. What is it to humble ourselves? Well, we recognize that we are the created. He is the creator. He has the authority to tell us what to do, and we must obey what he said. In Matthew 25, verse 7, it says, Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God." And this is what Donnie read. "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." And we sit here and think about all what's left. And I realize none of us are perfect. I'm certainly not perfect. I have failed. But the commitment to love God with all that I have, there's nothing left to give anywhere else. Compared to what Josiah said, he said that which is encircled in red. He made a covenant before the Lord to follow the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all his heart, with all his soul, to perform the words of the covenant that were written in the book. Again, application. John, Jesus said in John 14, verse 15, "If you love me, keep my commandments." He says in Hebrews 5, verses 8 and 9. Though he were a son. Now, this is speaking of Jesus. What did Jesus do? Though he were a son, yet he learned obedience. Is that not something? That the Son of God learned obedience? But how did he do that? He did it by fulfilling the plan that had been established before the foundations of the world. And he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. The plan was for the Savior to suffer. He followed through that plan that so that we could be saved. And he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. There is an obedience component to salvation. He is the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying I can earn my way to heaven. He paid the price. His blood is what cleanses me. But there is an expectation of obedience for us. And so the application, the question we have to ask ourselves, am I the good tree bearing good fruit? Or am I the bad tree, bearing bad fruit? Am I willing to obey Jesus and his commands? I put a little comparison chart here. And I think about Josiah, who is trying to serve God. I know there are many of us who are out there trying to serve God. And he was growing in his service. He had years in order to study, to learn, to find out what he needed to do. And then what did he do? He went off and he did something about it. Am I growing in his service? Now, how was that growth? Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Am I studying his Word in order to grow? When he learned something new, when they found the book of the law and he realized that they were not doing all the things in the book of the law, he tears his clothes and he's going to change about it. And so then the question is for us, when we learn something new, am I willing to change? Am I willing to humble myself as he did? He humbled himself, Huldah the prophetess said, because you humbled your heart, these calamities will not come upon you, but will come upon the nation who has forsaken me. So am I those who are humbling myself before God in order to follow after him when I learn something that I did not know, when I realize, I mean, how many of us have done things that we didn't even realize that we were doing, that were wrong? Sometimes we learn things like that. I've been guilty of that. I'm thinking, I didn't know that. So what am I going to do when I learn that? Someone says, well, Ralph, you know, you shouldn't be doing this. And I'll go, I never thought about that. So am I going to resist and say, oh, that's too hard for me? Josiah could have said, oh, ridding the country of idolatry is too hard. The people, they're just so hard-headed. What am I going to do about that? I can't, no. Josiah went forth and did it. And that's the expectation for us. That our expectation is to go forth and do things when we read the Word of God. And don't take my word for it. I'm a man. I'd hold up my Bible if I had it, but my Bible's in electronic form. So go to your Bible. When God speaks, let's listen to what he says, humble ourselves before him, and be willing to change. And in the same way that Josiah is approved by God, we can be approved by God when we listen and when we seek and when we're willing to change. There were some people in the New Testament that were having some difficulties changing. In Galatians, the fourth chapter, Paul says, but now, after you have known God, or rather are known by God, how is it that you turn again to the weak and beggarly elements, to which you desire again to be in bondage? Have I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? So when someone comes and tells me something and shows me something that I need to change, am I going to get upset with them? Have they become my enemy because they have now told me something that I need to change? Am I going to get my back up and get upset because I don't want to change? Who are you to tell me what I'm doing wrong? It's not really them telling me. It's the Word of God. That's what's important. But there's another group. It's a choice we can make. It's the Bereans in Acts 17. Then the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea, where they arrived. They went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble, more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. Please don't take my word for it. If we're sitting around having a conversation, don't take my word for it. Hold me accountable to the word, that I'll show you the word and then abide by the word. That's what's important. It's God is what's important. Nothing about Ralph Etheridge and whoever I can point my finger. It's not about you. It's about the word of God. So when we're speaking with one another and we learn some things that we need to change, let's change it. Let's be like the Bereans. And then we can, it's okay to influence others to do good. That is an expectation that God has on us. Josiah did. It says, then the king sent and gathered all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem and the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. We already read this, but I'm reading again for emphasis. Great and small, and he read in their hearing all the words of the book of the covenant which had been found in the house of the Lord, and made a covenant before the Lord to follow the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies. He influenced others to do what was right. He couldn't make someone do what was right. They had to want to do what was right. And that was one of the questions I asked earlier. Do I want to do what's right? Do I want to seek after God? Because I'm going to tell you, if I don't want to seek after God, you are not going to be able to twist my arm and make me seek after God. I'm going to be like the rest of the people that Huldah prophesied against, that the calamity is going to come upon them. That was the children of Israel who were taken off into Babylonian captivity. The problem I will have is the judgment of God in the final. If I am not willing to follow after God and make those changes. So, he was crowned as king at age 8. He began to seek the Lord at age 16. Took him some years to learn some things. He begins destroying idols at age 20. It takes him 6 years to do that. Finds the book of the law as they're repairing the temple. Starts changing when he finds that change is needed, and then he provides bold leadership to his country and tells them the things they need to know by reading the book of the law to them. And so, the plan of salvation. What do I need to know? Simply to obey God. He became the author of eternal salvation to all those who obey him. Am I willing to believe the message when I hear it? Am I willing to repent, change my life, repent of my sins? Am I willing to confess him as the Savior? He is the only Savior. He is the one who can save us from our sins. That is confession of Jesus Christ. Am I willing to be baptized for the remission of those sins, which is simply the element by which he has chosen for us to come in contact with that blood? Nothing that we do of ourselves. It is all about the blood of Christ. But this is the means by which he has instructed us to follow after him. And then am I willing to commit my life and live faithfully until I die? Until I die. And oh, the blessings that he will afford us because we have chosen to follow after him. If you happen to be subject to the invitational call tonight, we'd ask you to come forward or to talk to us about it afterwards and be glad to help one another come closer to God. Please do so as we stand.